The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And we're back. Final hour. It's been a busy one. A lot of guests and plenty of time for you to get in here at the final hour of the program. Harold is up next. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. You know, I'm glad you didn't run for governor of Alabama because of this. There is no way in hell that you could put up with the Alabama legislature. Just like Nick Saban, there's been talk about him running for governor. There's no way he could put up with it. You'd explode, wouldn't you?
You know, Harold, you're right, and I feel like I have an expertise on this for this reason. About 15 years ago, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court had a charity that benefited young children and asked if I would get involved with it. They honored me with a roast. It turned out to be pretty cool. But part right. of the ask was, would I come down to Montgomery one day and go around and ask people for money? You know, I mean, we're talking about, you know, major, you know, like Milton McGregor, people like that. And secondly, would I go around and lobby legislators to earmark money for the charity? I mean, and by the way, we're not talking about, you know, Democrat, Republican. We're talking about helping young children who grew up in difficult circumstances. It was a wonderful charity. And I'll tell you what, and some of these names would be familiar to you, and I'm not going to mention them. I hit about four or five of them, and they looked at me like, are you out of your mind? We're not giving you a dollar. I said, listen, this is not what I do for a living here. But I by the end of that day, and I probably talked to 15 legislators, I realized what a bad job that would be to be doing anything in Montgomery, let alone the governor.
No way you could mention maybe one or two of the legislators.
Think north of town, okay?
Okay. Yes. And one other question about Tommy. When Tommy Tuberville ran for the Senate, he said publicly that if I can deal with Paul Feinbaum, I can deal with anything.
Yeah, that's exactly what he writes.
You're right. Now the question is, could you get a straight answer from, or have you gotten a straight answer for Tommy Tuberville about the visitors that visited the Capitol on January 6th, 2021? Or you think he would, because I heard it mentioned earlier, he said, oh, Mr. President, I've got to go.
Yeah, no, I mean, he was involved in that, as you know. I mean, President Trump called him in the middle of it.
Right.
I have, one thing that I think Tuberville has done wisely as a senator, he has stayed away from doing interviews. And Harold, you know why.
Oh, I know exactly why. But, you know, tell me this. I used to be very liberal. I've moved much more to the center. But if I could ask you this, if you lived in Alabama when Tuberville was elected, I'll admit I voted for Doug Jones because there's no way I could have voted for Tuberville. I get the feeling you would have probably voted, as if you don't mind me asking, I get a feeling that you, as well as you've known Doug, as many times you've had him on this show, I get a feeling you would have probably voted for Doug too.
It would have been extremely difficult for this reason. I happened to have known both guys. And been friendly. I was friends with the guy that held the seat at the time.
Luther Strange.
Yeah, I knew Luther very well, and I would have been very conflicted by that from an ideological standpoint versus. But I quite frankly never thought Doug was going to be reelected, so it really didn't matter.
No, I didn't either. But even if you knew that Doug wasn't going to be reelected, you'd have to admire. Because I remember when you were talking about the Casey run, you made this statement that's always stuck with me. When you had him on the show, when you were with Neil Vickers, you had him on the show. He took the case out of mothballs.
Yes, he did.
He took the case out of mothballs, and how much a strong supporter of bringing people to justice that's been. that would have been very difficult not to vote for him, wouldn't it?
I will say this, Harold. The vote part wasn't going to be the issue. I'm glad I wasn't doing a local show during all that. Because,
right.
And I got caught up into it briefly. I had a reporter call me very early on and ask me about Tuberville. And I just gave an honest answer. They asked me about a certain aspect of his campaign, and it blew up, and some of the locals in your town went after me, saying I was trying to get in the middle of it, which I was not. I was talking about Tuberville as a football coach, and as somebody who I knew very well. But I made a vow after that to never go down the political walk again, and I've held firm to it.
Yeah, like I said, it's a good thing you were not in Alabama in 2004, right?
Well, it would it would just been hard not to bring up all the old lines that we used against Tuberville when he was the head coach.
Right, like telling the Cincinnati fans where to go.
Yeah, no, I mean, I always, and by the way, I don't. I think we talked about this many years ago. I cannot imagine being a politician today. Because
right, I can't either.
That's why we were joking. But you cannot really be truthful about anything.
Right, as John Forney once told me, and he's told you, I'm sure, because you were extremely close with John. You just don't tell people in Alabama what to do, right? Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would, and I think that's why people have misunderstood the population there too often, because they do not, whether you agree with their politics or not, they do not like to be led. They want to make up their own minds. And I think it's one reason I really love living there as long as I did and hope to come back again.
Okay. All right. Have a great day, Paul.
Harold, thank you. Appreciate it. We go from a state like that to Louisiana, where the motto is vote early and vote often.
And even when you're dead, that does not stop you from voting.
You still are able to vote from the cemetery, just as long as you did what you were supposed to do early on.
As long as you have somebody certified in Ouija board operations, we can do that. We do it. We get it verified by a priest, and the vote is counted. Speaking of priests and verifying from beyond, you had a very interesting conversation yesterday, Paul, and I don't know about the demons in you, but you just said something to Harold. You said you vowed never to get into politics conversations again.
Yes.
When did you say that? I mean, because every day you're getting into political discussions.
Well, not like I used to. I used to just give I used to view politics or Augie as just satire until the world went crazy.
And when was that? What year did that happen?
It wasn't long ago.
I think the world's always been crazy, and every year it gets a little crazier, and then people who are older start to forget about when it actually did go crazy. But speaking of all of that, John's daughter, according to John, did come up with an astute statement. She was saying there were some alliances being made, that Augie and Jim are forming an alliance. Well, like I said, I'll agree with Jim when I agree with him, but I don't agree with him on everything, so I don't know if there's really an alliance going there. And did you hear Squirrel is recovering from surgery today?
Now, that I didn't know.
Yeah, he had apparently knee surgery, meniscus surgery. And,
oh, okay.
Of course, I'm reporting what's on Twitter, so I'm a Twitter reporter, right? This is all hearsay and secondhand, but it was from his official account. So
okay, well, hopefully he is able to view the program as he recovers.
He's sitting in his recliner. I don't know if he has a beer in his hand, but, Paul, did you hear the news on Eli Ricks? I don't know if you brought
it
up.
I saw he was arrested over the weekend.
Yeah, in Jones County, Mississippi. I guess it's I-59 from Baton Rouge to Tuscaloosa. They pulled him over, and he had some illegal substances, according to the state police. I think the state police pulled him over. So I guess that's...
Well, you know, Augie, because that is your profession, but those are things that can be knocked down, can they not?
Oh, of course, and let's face it. Mississippi, Alabama, if a state trooper was an Alabama fan, he probably wouldn't have arrested him, so I'm sure he's a state or Ole Miss fan. But speaking of Ole Miss and Mississippi State. Not doing too good this year in baseball, are they, Paul?
Yeah, it's really weird. I mean, this might be the strangest college baseball season in the SEC because you have that super team, and then some of your normal teams are struggling a little bit. And, and Vanderbilt
is two super teams, don't we? What about Tennessee and Arkansas?
Well, yeah, I mean, the Tennessee team just, I think, is right now a little bit on a level that we haven't seen. Although Arkansas was number one in the country most of last year, I would agree with that. That's a fair statement.
Well, it's not been a great year for us.
By the way, how is the new coach at LSU working out?
Jury's still out on him. I mean, he loses games he should win. He wins games you think they're going to lose. So it's hard to tell. I think people overall are not overjoyed, but they're still hoping that he comes around. So okay. I think the jury's still out.
Well, Augie, you know this because you follow college baseball. What you do in May and June can make you forget March and April very quickly.
Exactly right. And, Paul, one other word. I heard yesterday Larry from Shelby say he does not like Augie. I don't know what I ever did to Larry, but look at the people who don't like me. Larry, Joe from Red Bay, Legion, Jeff from Columbus. I mean, does that paint a picture for you?
Crystal clear.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you. Up against the break, we are coming. Were we getting bombed a minute ago? That was just a hailstorm. I wasn't in London during World War II, but it felt like it.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. Bubba is in North Carolina, and you are on the air. Hello, Bubba.
Oh, shaking Godfather.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, I like Godfather. Hey, I was just curious there about our old brother James from Tuscaloosa there. He was giving you a hard time yesterday about headed to the very deep south on a rocket ship while reminding us all he was prepared to climb the stairway to heaven.
Yeah, that was Jim from Tuscaloosa. He pretty much exercised me right here live.
I didn't hear much Christian advice for JK from him today. What was that all about?
Yeah, well, not to quote the Bible, because Jim knows it better than all of us, but he got a little bit off the track, I think. He was a different testament than most of us are familiar with.
Yeah, Jim has a different trigger he pulls or something, but
there's the Old Testament, the New Testament, and then the Jim Testament.
Exactly. And Miss Pat, she was very cordial yesterday also. She was a lot nicer than the last time I heard her call.
Yeah, she told me off a couple weeks ago. I've had two women in Georgia. Miss Kay told me she's done with me, and then Miss Pat said she's done with me. I mean, what is wrong with me and these ladies?
Pat lit you up a couple weeks ago. Oh, yeah. She was as nice as she could be yesterday.
Like a rainy night in Georgia. I ain't taking the midnight train to George either. Hey, thanks for the call. But I am talking to I-Man next.
Nice. Well, you know, Paul, you're not having luck with the Georgia women simply because you don't know how to treat Georgia peaches.
No way to treat a lady.
Three times a lady.
Got to treat like a lady.
You know, I just got in. I've been working my butt off this last couple of weeks. And I saw the little scrolling thing at the bottom about USC and Auburn.
Yeah,
we don't know if Auburn would have beat USC. We don't know that USC would have beat Auburn. But these are the facts that we do know.
Ooh.
Oklahoma got the living hell beat out of by USC. And USC was cheating so bad, Kim Kardashian kicked Reggie Bush to the curb. I mean, because he lost his Heisman. Pete Carroll was cheating like hell. They could not hide the fact that Reggie Bush's parents were living in a $1 million house out there in California. Although they had no jobs to represent that.
Mm.
And Pete Carroll goes to Seattle. And we do know this, that the Auburn backfield, Campbell, Cadillac Williams, Ronnie Brown, were in the top five of the draft. And by today's standards, that's national championship material.
That's true.
And we do know this. Al Borges, they said, what did you do to Jason Campbell to make him so good? You remember this? He said, I quit hollering and screaming and cussing at him, and we started talking.
I do remember that. We talked to Al earlier.
One super, Sir?
We talked to Al earlier in the show.
Well, and
I know you were working. Always, you're a working man.
That's right. I'm working. Got the working man blues right now.
But we're not. I mean, we just hang out here every day. While you is it the heat right now I'm in, or is it something else?
Yeah, I mean it's pretty hot down here for whatever reason. I mean, the attic temperatures right now probably 140, 155.
Really?
And I'm in quite a few. I'm not a desk jockey. I don't sit around with a white shirt on, look at computer, play solitaire, answer phones, and that kind of thing. I'm actually working.
I applaud you. I'm a desk jockey. I'm not qualified to pour Freon all day.
Yeah, well, it's not about pouring Freon. It's about indoor air comfort engineering.
Tell me this, because everyone is going to have air conditioning issues. What should we know? Because right now the temperature's rising, and what shouldn't we do with our thermometers?
Change your filter.
And if you're having
problems with your unit, just remember this: they don't fix themselves. Turn them off and call a service guy.
No.
Because otherwise, the union will probably freeze up. And now you're going to pay that guy an hour and a half for standing around.
When our unit doesn't work, I just turn it lower. Make it work harder.
That's not right. You know, and that's something else. People think because they turn it lower, it gets colder. No, it's like a light switch. When you turn it lower, you're not letting it cycle itself off.
Oh.
You're turning it on, and and it's not going to get any colder.
Should you do when you send, there's like the auto setting. My wife always has our air conditioner way too cold.
As little as you are, 74 degrees is probably cold when you.
Yeah, I mean, I do not like that air just blowing like I'm in a tunnel or something.
Well, I mean, you know, you have to figure your house out, Paul. It's a lot to do with your house.
Well, I think we do. By the way, we have our heating and air engineer. He's already been there, I mean.
Well, I mean, you know, what can I tell you? I'd come look at your house for you, but you're in that high rent district, and I don't know the code to get into the neighborhood. So
yeah, you're right.
And you're not going to give me that code. But
I am going to give it to you.
Now we've talked about Auburn and your feet and air conditioning, I want to talk about a call I did here yesterday. And I heard that ragtag sob story that Jim come on here and told about his injury again, and the way his daddy treated him and his mama treated him. And then, of course, it was the Catholic Church and his grandmother dying. We've all experienced all those things. But Jim has lived for 77 years, bitter as hell. And at some point, Jim started making decisions on his own. Hell, I crushed my left foot, Paul. I was a drummer in a band and working construction during the day. I crushed my left foot, and they was talking about amputating half of it. I was in the hospital for 2 weeks with it, and then I stayed at home off of it for 6 weeks, and I sat behind the drums, and I kept moving that foot. And you know what? It was the best thing musically for me because I got all that time behind the drums sitting there. But, you know, at some point, you start making decisions for yourself, and you say, I'm going to do this. I got this. And you take on your life and you move on with the past and you appreciate the past because it would not have given you the strength to go forward. But Jim has been a coward his entire damn life. And I don't care what he went through. I don't care what you keep throwing these little topics out. Well, you know, I know a little bit more. Well, we all know a little bit more. I mean, Jim is a pitiful piece of a person. And it's always somebody else's fault. And he does need an exorcism. He needs an ass whooping. And somebody needs to open his eyes so he can enjoy what little bit of life he's got left in him. And I hope he lives to be 100 to enjoy that. But he's just going to complain like hell all the way to the end. And you know, we're going to hear him every day on this show blaming you, blaming me, blaming everybody else. And somebody says, oh, but he's sapient. Oh, you my new best friend, my best friend. Just like you had Jack Jeffs call the other day. Paul, as always, Jim kissed my entire ass. Have a good day.
No, just part of it. Get the whole thing.
Joe is up next.
Roll down road, Paul Feinbaum.
Joe, where did you make out of I-Man's call?
Hey, he's right, Paul. He's absolutely right. Jim can kiss the booty. He can kiss the booty. But, hey, what he told you about your air conditioning, because I did this professionally for years. I mean, there ain't but two air conditioning companies in Red Bay, and I know without a doubt I'm smarter than one of them, because I used to work for the fool. And like an idiot, you fire the best hand you ever had. The best hand you ever had. But, hey, if your house ain't cooling, hey, I'm in right. Check the filter. You got to change that filter regularly. You got to change that filter. And there's other couple of things you can check too, Paul. And I hate those programmable thermostats.
Yeah,
I hate those. I love those old-fashioned mercury thermostats. And if it sounds noisy because I'm going down the road. I'm driving Red Bay, Alabama right now.
I got seven women on my mind.
Hey, Jim.
One says she's a friend of mine.
Take it. That's right. Seven women on my mind.
I think you're not a Jackson Brown fan.
That I am. I am. That's a good song.
Jackson Brown wrote that song.
Every one of them.
Glenn Frey added one line to it.
I'm running down the road trying to loosen my load. I got one.
I don't know. I didn't like the way you said that, by the way. So,
well,
Joe,
I mean, I didn't make that
was not the original version.
No. Well, it ain't the original version, but I mean, the original version can be improved.
It can
be improved. It sure can.
You're absolutely
right
about that. I mean,
I'm rolling down the road with say 15 women on my mind, but Jim ain't on my mind. Jim ain't never on my mind.
Did you hear the call yesterday, Joe? Man, sorry about that. When we talked about spirituality,
I did. And you know what? There's fake prophets.
You got it right.
Fake prop. But anyway, Jim's
fake
one
prophets
of those.
Is what you're looking
prophet.
For.
He's a fake prophet, and everything he spews out is blasphemy, Paul. I mean, it's blasphemy. Jim needs a swift kick right to the seat of his dadgum britches. He does. And so he needs, I don't know how much, you've heard the phrase laying hands on people.
Yeah.
Well, Jim needs a bunch of hands laid heartily on him.
Why? Why are you trying to incite violence here against the prophet Jim?
Well, because sometimes that's what it takes. You know, when I was a child growing up, sometimes it took a switch to my butt. Sometimes it took a switch to the back of my legs. And that's what Jim needs now. He needs a switching. You know, maybe.
He needs a switching?
Yes, he needs a good switching. Just take a good limb off, preferably one with briars, and just switch his ass just as hard as you can. And that's what he needs. And I can tell you this. Jim cries about how it used to be. The show is better now than it used to be. Jim is a has-been, and he was a been at a time, but he's a has-been. And he can go crawl up in a fetal position and kiss his own butt because nobody cares about him anymore. And Jeff can in Columbus, Jeff can kiss my ass too, Paul. Jeff can kiss he can French kiss it. I got to drive, Paul. Road
okay.
Tide.
I've lived a full life, but I've never heard French kissing. Anyway, we're coming back. We are here for 30 more minutes. Hope you'll stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
One of our favorite callers had surgery today, so we are going live to the OR.
Wow.
And speak now to Squirrel.
Well, on that note, everything is great. You know, these arthroscopic knee surgeries are really not that big a deal nowadays. And
can you get them like in an express lane, like you just drive around?
I mean, seriously, you're in by 7 in the morning and out by 9. It's crazy.
That is bizarre.
And he said you ought to be able to walk around a day or two. Heck, I was walking around today, and I may go fishing this weekend, but it's not the ordeal it used to be.
Well, you know what they'll tell you. The key to any type of surgery like that is to get moving and rehab it quickly.
That's right. I'm walking around. I'm moving around. And everything's good on that nature. But no, I just wanted to stop. I wasn't going to call today. I'm enjoying sitting there and watching the show actually for once, because I usually listen on the radio. But I just wanted to stop this negative gym train, man. Our man's been up in the attic too long. That heat has affected him. And Joe.
I mean, and Squirrel, help me with this. And I appreciate anyone that does what he does.
Oh, I do too.
But let's not get carried away, okay? I mean, you didn't come up with a new cure for cancer. I mean, you're a heating and air specialist. Good for you.
But man, when your air goes out, there's nothing.
Well,
more
I agree. I mean, we call our guy and say, hey, I mean, I'm about to die. I mean,
I'll go get a hotel room before I sleep in the house without air conditioning.
But I mean, that's what you do. This is a busy time of the year. Yeah. But if you think it's bad today, wait till July 4th and have your air conditioner go out.
Yeah, people ain't seen anything yet. But getting back to this negativity, you know, Joe's sitting here ranting about Jim. Didn't Joe tell us the Israeli government was after him a while back because he was a spy? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I think he. I think he works for.
Threat or something. Yeah, I mean, so his
Gaddafi, doesn't
shot, and he's sitting there complaining
part of the PLO.
About Jim. How many negative Jim calls have we had today? 20.
We only had one.
Do you think? Well, we had 20, and 19 of those people probably wouldn't have called in if it wasn't for Jim. So that tells you he is the star of the show. And I don't know. It just blows my mind that people just don't like Jim. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, listen, people have not liked some of the greatest minds in world history.
Yeah. But hey, I appreciated, I listened yesterday, and I appreciated Legend reading another chapter from his fairy tale book about being an evangelist.
Oh, yes.
For 7 years.
Yes.
Yeah, he's real evangelist material. You know what I mean? I mean, that just tells you. I mean, in other words, he scammed people for 7 years as an evangelist or something like that. I mean, I thought he was a motivational speaker, TV, radio host. I mean, how many things is he?
You can be an evangelist and do all that.
Okay. You can be an evangelist and act like a dimwit like he acts on this show? I don't think so, Paul. But again, he's a scam artist. Con man, there's a connection there. I don't know if you have tied those two words together.
I'm an alliteration specialist, so I know. I knew where you were going.
Where con man came from. Yeah. Thanks for taking my call.
That's con man with a K, right? Wow, that's crazy. Now we can't do that. Let's talk to Walt next in Texas. Hey, Walt, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. I really have enjoyed your show and some of these characters you have calling on here. I really worry about some of these Alabama and Georgia fans calling in, but it makes it entertaining.
Thank you. That is our main goal every day.
I was originally going to talk to you about this Texas OU thing moving into the Big 12, but I think y'all kind of beat that to death enough. But your caller from New Orleans gave me an idea that I want to suggest to you, that maybe you could use your divine influence and maybe make this happen, is that I had an idea that either SEC College Game Day or maybe even ESPN College Game Day could hire Coach Ogeron and have him go around and check on all the tailgates and report on the food. Because, you know, he loves food. He said so in the movie, you know. And you could have him walking around there and checking on everything. And then, like, you know, even if they go way up the East Coast, well, we got some crabs boiling here. And we got some Boston baked beans and something that looks like cornbread. And I'm Coach O. That's what's cooking. Go gumbo.
Hey, by the way, it's possible.
Yeah, wouldn't that be good?
Coach O is trying to get a television job right now. So who's to say that
would be
what you just laid out is not going to happen?
Oh, bummer. Well, it was an idea.
No,
I'm
I mean,
sorry.
I said, you know, could, I bet to say it, what you laid out could happen. It's entirely possible. Hey, thank you for the call. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.